Father God, you are our Father in heaven, and you are holy, and you have loved us with a love from eternity, that you wanted us to be your children, and you wanted us to have fellowship with you, and we turned our back on you in the garden. And so you, I know what we're studying here is just the beginning of the method that you were going to do to bring us back to yourself and to teach us, number one, what sin is, number two, who you are, and to bring us in and be adopted into your family. And we praise you for that. So I ask you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit leads us this morning in all of the thoughts that we will be making for this morning and the lessons that you intend to teach each one of us individually. We just praise you for your goodness and praise you, Jesus, for your high priest intercession for us before the Father God, and that you intercede for us constantly. And we know what high priests are because you taught us that in your will in the First Testament. And so we just thank you and ask you to just guide us in our thoughts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we've got a famine going on, and all of a sudden it spreads to the area of Canaan where Jacob and the family are, and they run out of wheat. You know, anytime they're talking about what they're doing here, they've got to have wheat because they've got to have bread. You know, from the very beginning, bread was the main thing that everybody lived on. If you didn't have bread, they thought you were going to starve to death. And that's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you don't have him spiritually, you spiritually will starve to death. So everything that we have is to teach us about Jesus from the very beginning on. And so we have the boys coming down. And Jacob said, well, here, take some money and go down there. And I've asked you to fill in all of this, so I'm going to rush through it, and then I'm going to ask you, is there something that you want to say? Because we got to go through five chapters. So the boys get there, and they're not boys anymore, are they?
No.
You know, even Joseph, who was 17 when the last time he saw them, was now 30. And so they've all become men. He looks like an Egyptian. You know how we, the pictures of the Egyptians at this time, he had the Egyptian haircut, he had the Egyptian clothes, he spoke Egyptian. They didn't know he was Joseph, but he knew those were his brothers.
Yes.
So when they come in, he has a test to begin with. Did you remember what that was?
Yes.
He said, oh, you are a bunch of spies.
Yes.
You have come in here to find our weakness, and then you're going to come back and overpower us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they start saying, no, we have all of these brothers. We're starving to death back here. So he begins to ask them questions, mm-hmm. and they begin to answer them. And then their daddy's going to be real upset that he answered them so well. And so then he goes on here and continues to tell them. And the first thing here in 42:6 is they bow down before him. And it said Joseph remembers his dreams. And I think probably he was about 14 or 15 when he dreamed those dreams that they would bow down before him. And here they're all standing up before him, and they're all bowing down before him. You know, sometimes we don't understand what God's doing until many years later.
Amen.
And so praise God, he Amen. Has a plan, and he has a good plan, and he has knocked out that. And so then he said, well, now then, I know that you're spies. And he said, how many are there of you? And they said, well, 12. One brother is dead, and the one is with my father. And he said, well, unless you go back and get your younger brother and bring him back down here, you're not getting any more wheat. You're not going to get any more. And so then he keeps them locked up for 3 days. He's going to see if they're spies. And here is the older brother walking around, Reuben. If I told you that we would take care of him and not do what y'all wanted to do with Joseph, we would not be in the mess we're in now. How does that sound like a big older brother? It's all your fault. I told you we could not do this without having to be that way. And so then he keeps them, and then he says, all right, you've got to bring Benjamin. And they said, no, we're not, my daddy won't do that. He'll just die if he loses Benjamin. He lost Joseph. And then he said, no, well, we'll keep one of you here. So they picked Simeon and said, Simeon can stay here, and you go back home, and you get Benjamin, and you bring him here if you come back for more food. Well, that was just scared them to death. So then another thing he does, when they put all of the grain in sacks for them to carry, they give him money for each sack, and he takes that money and puts it back into the sack of grain. So they get out, and they haven't gone but a day or two, and they open it up, and they see all of this money. And they say, oh, no, we got a problem. We've got all this money in here. He didn't get, we're going to be not only spies, he's going to think we're thieves. So they go on home, and when they get there, they tell their daddy, well, this man was very generous. He gave us all of this, and we gave him money, and he gave the money back to us. And he said, now then, Jacob is afraid. He said, what are we going to do? And they said, well, if we need more food, when we go back to get Simeon and take Benjamin, then we will be able to have the money, the grain that we need. And so then he said, I've lost two sons already. You want me to lose Benjamin too? We're not going back. Mm-hmm. Well, it gets to the point where they lose all the grain's gone. They've got to have it. He said, well, I'm going to lose all 12 of you if I don't send you back. So he sends him back with them so they can go back. So that's in 42. Now we're in 43. Before that, in 37, Reuben said to his father, if I do not bring Benjamin back to you, you can kill my two sons and put in my I put them in my care. I will bring him back. But Jacob said, my sons cannot go with you. His brother is dead. He is the only one left. Something might happen to him on the way. I'm an old man, and the sorrow have already been caused me to lose two sons. That'll just kill me. I'll just go to the grave. Well, God said in 43, the famine gets worse. And this is where he says, well, we're going to starve to death. We have got to do something. So he said here, then in 43:6, why did you cause me so much trouble by telling that man that you had another brother? In other words, y'all didn't do anything right. And so, and I know that Jacob is just ready to pull a few hair in out of his head out. So. And so he said, well, we'll send the boy with me. Now Judas steps up. And so finally they're beginning to say, it's our fault. We're going to do everything we can to save the rest of the family. So Judas steps up in 8, and he says, send the boy with me, and we will leave at once, and none of us will starve to death. I pledge my own life. You can hold me responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you safe and sound, I will always bear the blame. If we are not waiting so long, we could have already been there and back twice by now. In other words, you know, we're going to sit there and starve to death if you don't let us go. Sounds just like family. And so there they go. So they pack up, and I thought it was interesting. They still have some things that's growing here. Just not the wheat. But they want to send a gift. And so he sends a gift of money and spices and pistachio nuts and almonds and twice as much money back. So that will cover the ones they took back and money to buy more in the future. And so it said, so the brothers in 15 took the gifts and twice as much money and set out for Egypt with Benjamin. And they presented themselves to Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the servants in charge of his house, take these men to my house, and they're going to eat with me. So kill an animal. So he's preparing for, well, this scares him to death. Oh, they're taking us over to Joseph's house. He's going to take us all over there, and he's going to kill us. No. Anyway, they get there, and the servants offer them water to wash their feet and to make them appropriate. And then he sets them up at a table because he can't eat with them, because it's a disgrace for an Egyptian to eat with these shepherds that smell like a bunch of sheep. And so they're sitting over here, and he's sitting over here, and they all look around, and he's got them set up according to age. And that scares them to death. Well, this man knows more than we thought he knew, because he set us up according to age. He's going to kill us all. This is just what's going to happen. And so then in 28 here, said, let's pick it back up here in 26. When Joseph got home, they took the gifts into the house to him. He bowed to the ground before them, and he asked them how their health was. And it says, you told me about your old father. Is he still alive and well? And they answered, your humble servant, our father, is still alive and well. And they knelt and bowed down before him again. And when Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, he said, so this is your youngest brother. the one you told me about, and God bless you, my son. And Joseph left suddenly because his heart was so full of tender feelings for his brother. He was about to break down, so he went in the next room and just broke down crying. He probably has not seen him since he was six. I think that was about what it was, because he was 15 and he was still a small child. Now he's in his 20s, and because he's been there, over 17 years. And so he has not seen his little brother. And so then it talks about they were sitting facing each other. Then down in 34, he said food was served to them from Joseph's table, and Benjamin was served five times as much as the rest of them. And so they ate and they drank, and Joseph, until they all were drunk, they had a big party. We look one more time that it's not the goodness of man that brings us salvation. It's the goodness of God and his promise and working through us goofy men. And so now then they get through that and they get them ready to go back home, and they fill up the sacks again. And so he has all of their money, both bunch of wads of money that were all stuck down in there. On top of that, they put his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. So they all go out, and they're going a few miles. You know, it's a long time to walk from Egypt back up into Canaan.
Yeah.
You know, we read this and we think, well, they were here and they were there. No. You know, this may take them a month to go and a month to come. So they're worried about all this going home. What's Daddy going to think now? And so he goes, and then they continue. And he said, early in the morning, the brothers were sent on their way, and also on their way with their donkeys. They had donkeys bringing these supplies in. So now they've got donkeys to help bring them home. And when they had gone only a short distance from the city, Joseph said to the servants in charge of his house, hurry after those men, and when you catch up with them, ask them, why have you paid me back evil for good? Somebody in here's run off with my silver cup. Well, none of us have your silver cup. Whoever has that silver cup, you can take them and just kill them. Well, they didn't know what they were talking about again one time. And so when the servants catches up with them and they give him this information, and they can figure out that Benjamin is the one that has the silver cup. Well, that scares them to death again. And so they go on and said, Joseph's servant searched carefully, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And the brothers tore their clothes and saw and loaded the donkeys and returned to the city. And when Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and Joseph said, what have you done? Didn't you know that a man in my position could find out by practicing divination? You know, they've got all these people that they call in that tell them what everything's doing. And what can I say to you, sir? Judas answered. How can we argue? How can we clear ourselves? God has uncovered our guilt. All of us are now your slaves. Now just the one with whom the cup was found. And Joseph said, oh no, I would never do that. Only the one who has the cup will be my slave. And the rest of you may go home safe and sound to your daddy. Mm-hmm. Normally, a few years back, that's what they would have all accepted. Mm-hmm. It takes some of us a long time to learn something. Mm-hmm. So, Judah went up to Joseph. Judah, one more time, is interceding. Please, sir, allow me to speak with you freely. Don't be angry with me. You are like a king himself. Sir, you have asked us, do you have a father or another brother? We answered, we have a father who is old, and a younger brother mourned to him in his old age. And the boy's brother is dead, and he is the only one of the mother's children still alive. And he has been loves him very much. So he told them to bring him here so that he could see him. And so we answered that. He answered the boy. The boy said, we could not have his father die. They said, you will not be admitted to my presence again unless the younger brother comes with you. And so then they go back and they tell him all of this. And he said, when they went back to the father, we told him what had happened. And he said, our father said to us, you know that my wife Rachel has two sons, and one of them has already left me. And he must have been torn to pieces by wild animals, because I have not seen him since he left. And you take this one from me now, and something happens to him, the sorrow he will cause me will kill me, because I'm old. So this is, they're finally getting into Joseph, and he knew where he was going with this to begin with. And so then Judah said, if I go back with my father without this boy, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. His life is wrapped up in the life of this boy, and he is old, and the sorrow we would cause him would kill him. And he said, I pledge my life to my father for this boy. And I told him, if I did not bring this boy back, I would bear the blame. And now then, sir, I will stay here as your slave in place of him, let him go back. And he said, I can't go back to see my daddy. So this is when Joseph, he tells the brothers who he is. And so then he said, Joseph's no longer able to control his feelings in front of the servants. He ordered all them out. He just tore all the pieces. This shows how much he loves his family. And no one else with him when Joseph told his brothers. And he cried with such loud sobs that the Egyptians heard it. And the news was taken to the king's palace. He's causing a real uproar here. And he cried with such loud sobs. They heard it. And then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But when his brothers heard this, they were terrified. One more time. Oh, Lord, he's listening. We've had it. Then Joseph said to them, please come closer. And they did. He said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. And now you do not be upset or blame yourselves because you sold me. Notice, it was really God who sent me ahead of you to save the people's lives. This is only the second year of the famine. There's going to be five more years. And so God sent me ahead of you to rescue you in this amazing way and to make sure that you and your descendants survive. And so he was not really you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me the king, highest official, and I'm in charge of this whole country. And I am the ruler over Egypt. And so now hurry back to my father and tell him that his son Joseph says, and God has made the ruler over all of Egypt. And then he goes ahead to tell him, said, you're going to be able to live in the region of Goshen. And when you come near me and your children and your grandchildren, and they're going to bring everything. They're going to bring all the sheep. They're going to bring all the servants. They're going to bring all the family. He said, just go get them. And he said, because you've got five more years of this. So then in 12, it said, Joseph continued, now all of you sons, you too, Benjamin, can see that I am really Joseph. So tell my father how powerful I am in Egypt and tell him about everything. And then in 14, and he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin, and he began to cry. And Benjamin begins to cry as he hugged him, and they were still weeping, and he embraced every one of the brothers. If you read all this and not get into tears before you get through it, it is so precious. Yes. And so then all this sobbing and going on, of course, King hears about it. And then he says to Joseph, tell me your brothers to load it. Then he said, he goes to the king, and his officials were pleased because Joseph said they were here. He said to Joseph, tell your brothers to load all their animals and return to the land of Canaan. Let them get their father and their families and come back, and I will give them the best land in Egypt, and they will have more than enough to live on. And tell also that I'm sending wagons with from here for your wives and your small children to bring their father with them. And they are not to worry about leaving their possessions behind. The best in the whole land of Egypt will be theirs. So the king just opens because he knows that Joseph is the one that saved his own nation. And so Joseph's sons did as they were told, and Joseph gave them wagons as the king had ordered and food for the trip. And then he also gave each of them a change of clothes. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver, 5 changes of clothes, and he sent his father 10 donkeys loaded with the best Egyptian goods, and 10 donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other food for the trip. And he sent the brothers off, and as they left, he said, now don't quarrel among you. He knows them pretty well, doesn't he? So they leave Egypt and they go back home. And then when they get home, up here it says 28, they tell him that what Joseph has done and sent to recover them. And they said when he recovered from the shock, that would be quite shocking, wouldn't it? And he said, my son Joseph is still alive. Is this all I could ask for? I must go and see him before I die. So if they had not received all of the gifts and everything else, it would have been just enough to know that Joseph was still living. Yes. Yes. So then Jacob and his family goes to Egypt. So we are now down in 46. Second page of your study sheets. See how well we're doing. So in 46, Joseph packs up all he had and he went to Beersheba. And this is where they started out originally. Isaac, and he offered sacrifices to God the Father and Isaac, and Father Isaac, and God spoke to him in a vision that night and called Jacob. "Yes, here I am," he answered. He said, "I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go to Egypt. I will make your descendants a great nation. There I will be with you in Egypt, and I will bring your descendants back to this land. Joseph will be with you when you die." And I know that was such a comfort to Jacob. So he set out for Beersheba, and he puts all the women and stuff in carts, and now they've got the transportation to get there. And so they went down there, and his oldest son, Reuben, and Reuben's son, and then it tells who all the sons was and who all their children were. And so we don't need to go through that. And then Jacob's wife, Rachel, bore him in 19, two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, in Egypt. And Joseph had two sons, and this is interesting and necessary for the rest of the story. Oh, hello there. They are named Manasseh and Ephraim. You remember that he gave him an Egyptian wife, and so these are his two children. And it says here that Benjamin's sons, and it lists all of them. So the total number of descendants Jacob who went to Egypt was 66. This is important. Circle that. This is who will grow into the nation of Israel. You remember when Abraham was told that his descendants would be as much as the stars and the sand. And then it was, he said, a real dread when during the night came over Abraham. And Abraham, God told him that they would be in captivity for 400 years. When they go in, they are 66. They will stay in Egypt 400 years, almost to the day. The consistency of all of the things that God prophesied and also the history of him fulfillment is faith builders. So these 66 people that he sends in there, that's the base family that's going to grow into this multitude. Because when they get there, you know, they never miscarry, and they get into where they just get to be so multiple that the king wants the midwives to start killing all the male children, and they won't do it because they said God's hand's in this. And said, "These women just deliver these babies, but we can get in there." So there's nothing we can do it. So it's important that you know, and this was foretold to Abraham before they ever had one child. Yep. So all of this is important, that what God says, God does. And so if you don't remember anything else from Genesis, you remember that. So Jacob and his family, they head off to Egypt. And so when they met Joseph, then we have some more reunions here. So Jacob sent Judah ahead and asked Joseph to meet them in Goshen. So Goshen is in the very top of Egypt. And why it is so fertile, that's where the Nile flood gate is. And so that is always the breadbasket of Egypt. That's where all of the wheat and everything else. And so this is ideal place for sheep. And also, the Egyptian people would not accept the sheep and the shepherds living among them because they didn't want a team to associate with them. So God has provided the very best land. He said, you can have this and anything else you want. But he has provided that, set it aside, had it ready. So when these people move down here with this herd of sheep and the herders, and you know, you've got all of the, you know, slaves and everybody that hurts. This is like moving a city, and they're going to take up that whole top of Egypt. And so Joseph said to his brothers and the rest of the family, I must go and tell the king that my brothers and my father's family has here, and I will tell him about that you are shepherds, and you have all these flocks with you, and when the king calls for you and asks for your occupation, now he's getting them ready to know how to respond to the king. Be sure and tell them that you have taken care of livestock all your life, just as your ancestors did. And in this way, he will let you live in the region of Goshen. And Joseph said to this because the Egyptians will have nothing to do with shepherds. So everything is really clear. This is why you read every word of the Bible, because it always explains itself. So now that we're in 47, so we're moving right along here. I liked it that when they left, that Jacob took time to worship God and offer a sacrifice. And you're showing that God is his God now, and he will not proceed without worshiping and going before God. So then we hit number 47 here. So he tells them, the king, he said, my father and my brothers have come from Canaan with their flocks and their herds, and they own, and they now are in the region of Goshen. And then he presented the brothers, and he had told them, now, remember what to say when he asked you. So the king asked them, what is your occupation? Joseph knew all this was going to happen. He said, we're shepherds, just as our ancestors were. And they answered, we have come to live in the country because in the land of Canaan, the famine is so severe that there's no pastures for our flock. So please give us permission to live in the region of Goshen. And the king said to Joseph, now your father and your brothers have arrived in the land of Egypt is theirs. Let them settle in the region of Goshen, the best part of the land. And if there are any capable men among them, put them in charge of my own livestock. And then Joseph brought his father and presented him to the king. And Jacob gave the king his blessing. And the king asked him, and how old are you? And Joseph said, I am 130 years old. And these years have been few and difficult, unlike the long years of my ancestors in the wanderings. And Jacob gave the king a farewell blessing. So he blesses him coming, he blesses him going. And then Joseph settles his father and his brothers in Egypt, giving them the property. And so it's not too far from the city of Ramesses, and you know that's still one of the cities of Egypt. And so Joseph provided food for his father and his brothers and the rest of the families, including the very youngest. So the famine is so severe, it gets to the point at this time, you know, he's been giving them for 2 years, the people, they've been buying back what they had been storing for the last first 2 and 3, going into the third year. And so then all of a sudden they run out of money. And so they said, we are going to start it, but we don't have any money. He said, well, you got any animals? Yeah. Well, you bring those and you give them to the king, and then you can have food. Well, when all that goes out, well, then they come and they said, in another year or so, he said, we still don't have anything. We don't have any money. We don't have any stock. You got any land? Yeah, we have land. So they start deeding the land to the king. So Joseph, by doing all of it this way, is giving and having the king control everything. And so then he said, in 25, you have served our lives, saved our lives, and have been good to us, sir, and we will be the king's slaves. And so now then they're giving them themselves. So Joseph made a law in the land of Egypt that 1/5 of the harvest should belong to the king. And the law should still remain in force today. Only the lands of the priests did not become the king's property. So he's letting them have all the stuff they raise except 1/5 of it. And they are to bring that back, and they are to begin storing it again. And so now we have Jacob's last week rest, and this is in 47:27. The Israelites lived in Egypt in the region of Goshen, where they became rich and had many children. And Joseph lived in Egypt 17 years until he was 147. And so notice there, after they get there, Jacob is able to live with his family and with his son 17 more years. I think that was so gracious of God to let Jacob have all of his family back in his care. And when the time drew near for him to die, he called his son Joseph and he said to them, please put your hand in my thigh. You know this happens all the time. Anytime they had a big oath, they put their hand in their thigh. That is basically saying, you're giving me all yourself, even your ancestors, because of the male reproduction system there. So it has a purpose. It sounds strange to us. But anyway, and it says, you put your hand there and place your hand between my thighs and make a solemn vow that you will not bury me in Egypt, and I will be buried where my fathers are, and carry me to Egypt and marry me where they are buried. Joseph says, I will do as you say. Then Joseph said, I'll make a vow that you will. And Joseph made the vow, and Jacob gave thanks there on his bed, and then he's ready to die. So in 48, it says, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. Now remember, these are Joseph's two sons. And he's going to give a double blessing to Joseph. Oh, when they get up into Canaan and start dividing all of the land, each man will have a tribe. Except they will all have a tribe that will be given a parcel of the land. They'll be needed. That's their tribe. Now then, you know that Levi will never have any land. He's always And his descendants are always going to live in the cities, and that's going to be your priestly tribe later. And so, but when he comes to these two boys and to Joseph, he blesses them to have a plot of land for Manasseh and one from Ephraim. In other words, Joseph gets a double plot of land because he is the one that saved the tribe and brought them all in there to begin with. And so this is what his blessings are. And he's blind, you know, he's been blind, I think, almost before Jacob left to go away from him because he couldn't see whose son he had. And so he crosses his arms, and instead of blessing they were twins, but they had marked them with a golden card which one was coming out first, and then he pulled his foot back up, put it back in. And so anyway, that oldest one did not get to be what we call the blessing of the oldest son in the family. And so Joseph is seeing this, and he's real upset. And he said, "Daddy, you've got your hands on the wrong boy." And he said, "No, I haven't. This is the way God wants it done." So he blessed the younger one over the older one. And then it says that Joseph says, "Make a vow that you," anyway, he said, "I will do as you say." Go back up here. Let's go, start at 29. "When the time drew near for him to die, he called his son Joseph to him and said, 'Place his hands between his thigh,'" and he goes in there, "'I'll be buried with my fathers, and carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried.'" And he said, "I'll do that." And then he has his blessing in 48. And so then it says, in 5 here, "Joseph's two sons who were born in Egypt before I came belongs to me, Ephraim and Manasseh, just as my sons is Reuben and Simeon." In other words, I consider this my 13th child. So we've got, that's how many different plots there were going to be when they put that in there. And it said to my, he was talking about Rachel, it said, "To my great sorrow, she died in the land of Canaan, not far from Ephrath." You remember that was Bethlehem. "As I was returning to Mesopotamia, and I buried her there on the road of Ephraim, is now known as Bethlehem. And Jacob saw Joseph's sons," so he said, "And who are these?" And so he blesses them. And the rest of this chapter is talking about that he blesses them, and you can go back and look at it. Then in 21, then Jacob said to Joseph, "As you see, I'm about to die, but God will be with me and will take me back to the land of your ancestors. It is to you and not to your brothers that I'm giving Shechem." And Shechem was the fertilest land. So Joseph is getting the top land, and really more than the others because of both of his sons get one. And he said, "I'm going to Shechem, that fertile region I took from the Amorites with a sword in my bow." Then 49, we've already covered, because this is when he blesses all the rest of the kids. Mm-hmm. And so now then we flip over to 50. And Joseph, it's basically 49 and 29, and there's a sentence in here I really like. It said, "Then Jacob commanded his sons, 'Now that I am going to join my people in death, bury me with my fathers in the cave that are in the field of Ephraim, the Hittite, at the Machpelah, east of Mamre in the land of Canaan.' Abraham bought that cave and field from Ephraim for a burial ground. This is where they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah, and this is where they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah, and this is where I will be buried." Notice who is next to Leah. I had buried Leah there. And that was that shows you how much she meant to him after especially Rachel died. And Rachel, of course, is not buried in that cave because she was there in route, and they can't move a body once it's in that hot region. So, but he said, "As where I buried Leah." And that comforted me again. "And the field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites, and bury me there." And when Jacob had finished giving his instructions to his son, he laid down and he died. I like it how they get everything settled. Don't wait until they're already gone. You wonder, why in the world do they want me to do that? Leave instructions now. Go home and make out a folder. You won't need your special things done, because you never know when we get out on the road, you're going to get run over the egg. So, we now in chapter 50. You didn't think we could do this, did you? So, Joseph threw himself on his daddy, crying and kissing his face. And then Joseph gave orders to embalm his father's body. Notice how long it takes to embalm a body. 40 days. And basically what they do, they pack them in salt. and they take them in salt until they're so dry that every bit of moisture is gone away. And that's what you do when you, all these people that keep digging up down there and those, you know, things that we get to look at that look so terrible. Well, they were embalmed with salt. And so, and it said the Egyptians mourned for them. Now then they go into mourning for 70 days after they have already been waiting for him to get embalmed, 40 days. So then when the time of mourning was over, Joseph said to the king's officials, please take the message to the king. And when my father was about to die, he made me promise him that I would bury him in the tomb where it had been prepared in the land of Canaan. And so please let me go and bury my father, then I will come back. And that king answered, you go and you bury your father as you crossed your blood. And this, I think, is so interesting, so we're going to slow down. We got time to kind of go through this. So Joseph went to bury his father and all the king's officials. Now notice who I was going to bury, father. All the king's officials, the senior men of his court, all the leading men of Egypt went with Joseph. His family, his brothers, the rest of the family, all went with him. Only their small children and their sheep and goats and cattle stayed in the region of Goshen. Men in chariots and men on horseback all went with him. It was a huge crowd. And you know, we've seen these movies where all of Egypt was moving around in all these carts and things. And you can, in your mind, since we've had pictures, moving pictures of this, seeing what a funeral we're having for Jacob. So when they came to the thrashing place at Etad, east of Jordan, they mourned loudly for a long time. This thrashing place is where the temple will be built.
I have a note that says that that's Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the temple will be built. That is where Abraham took Isaac to offer him up as a sacrifice. That is where Boaz settled and put the threshing field there because it's high. There's four mountains there. You have to be where the wind can blow. The way they threshed wheat, the seeds away from the plant was throwing them up there and the wind would catch the chaff and run it off. And this is a place that from Abraham on has been their seat of their meeting with God. So they mourned loudly for a long time, and Joseph performed mourning ceremonies for 7 days. And when the citizens of Canaan saw these people mourning at Etad, they said, what a solemn ceremony of mourning the Egyptians are holding. And this is the way the place was named, Abel Mizraim. And so, remember how many is there of the officials of Egypt? You know, I don't know, you know, hundreds of people. And they're up there, they've already been there 40 days, and they're continuing to mourn. And so this probably is a little bit scary to all the Canaanite people that, you know, Egypt was the mightiest country in the whole world at this time. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them, and they carried his body to Canaan, and they buried it in the cave of Machpelah, east of Mamre, in the field which Abraham had bought from Ephron Hittite for a burial ground. You know, that's the only land that Abraham ever owned. And after Joseph had buried his father, he returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with them for the funeral. So after the death of their father, Joseph's brothers said, what if Joseph still hates us and plans to pay back all the harm we do him? They're still running scared. And so they sent a message to Joseph. Before our father died, he told us to ask you, please forgive the crime your brothers committed when they wronged you. Now please forgive us the wrong that we, the servants of your father's God, have done. Joseph cried when he received their message. Bless this man, he has cried buckets of tears. And then his brothers themselves came and bowed down before him. And here we are before you as your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I can't put myself in the place of God. You've plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good. That happens all the time. We still have people that plot evil against us, but God will turn it into good. So don't grasp that, hold on to it. or that will, they will hurt you over and over and over again. You know that God had a plan, and that's the way it is, and we don't understand those things. It may be a learning time for us. We don't know. But know that God is always under control. It's not good. It's not good who's doing it, but it just happens. So he turned it into good. The lives of many people are alive today because of what happened. In other words, what y'all did and put me in charge and all these things that, you know, from the everything that I went through in Egypt got me into the position I am. All of Egypt and all of us are still alive because God, this is the way that he chose to make sure we had enough to eat and we're all here. That's a big plan that God had. And nowhere during the things that we've read would you expect that to happen if you were in that position. So you don't know what God's going to do. And so you have nothing to fear. I'll take care of your children. And so he reassured them in their kind ways that touched their hearts. Well, they should understand the amount of tears it's, you know, splattered all over. Joseph continued to live in Egypt with his father's family, and he lived to be 110 years old when he died. He lived to see Ephraim's children and grandchildren. He also lived to receive his children of Mashah, is the son of Manasseh, into his family. And he said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will certainly take care of you and lead you in this land that he has solemnly promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Joseph asked his people to make a vow. Promise me, he said, that when God leads you back to the land, you will take my body with you. So Joseph died in Egypt at the age of 110. They embalmed him and put him in a coffin. He will lay in that coffin for 400 years. And when God says the time is right to bring my people out of Egypt, they will carry Joseph with them, and they will bury him in Machpelah. Yep. Now, wasn't that a good story?